PTSD, eating disorders, and much more. The public can find more information on TTUHSC Permian Basin's Facebook page or by emailing pb-psychadmin at ttuhsc.edu.
Saturday mornings, we bring you a variety of exciting publications and shows, beginning at 9 with Armed Forces News on Military Times, at 10 a.m. Sports Illustrated, at 11 o'clock, The Outdoor Show with readings from outdoor magazines, and at 12 noon, The Blind Handyman, Saturdays on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 49 and mostly cloudy. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the low 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
Matt and I have some pretty strong opinions about machine learning and its future with the disability community, and we definitely want to have a seat at the table when it comes to developing today's current and tomorrow's future technologies and their impact on our community.
And our two guests today certainly do have a seat at the table and have provided some very unique technologies that can help everybody who's visually impaired.
We'll speak with Mike Calvo and Matt Campbell, who are the co-founders of Numa Solutions, which offers a suite of accessible cloud services geared to the needs of the visually impaired. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Mike Calvo and is reinforced by Matt Campbell.
Are you tired of those nasty accessible web overlays that just make your visit to a website a nightmare? Visit accessibyby.org. That's accessi, accessibyby.org, and download the free extension there that eliminates all of these nasty web overlays that want to just make your surfing on the internet hell.
Are they a competitor of yours?
No, Accessi Bye-Bye? No. That's we created that.
And when you're talking about excessive overlays, what specifically are you referring to?
Maybe you've gone to a website and it keeps on telling you something like press Alt-1 to turn on screen reader mode. With some of these overlays, such as Accessibee, if you don't press the keyboard command to turn on the quote-unquote accessible mode, then it'll just keep on badgering you about it and interrupt whatever you're trying to do. And what's going on with that is Accessibee and several other companies are trying to sell web accessibility silver bullet quick fixes to businesses with websites, as opposed to having the business actually make their website accessible by design. It's trying to bolt on a quick fix rather than building in accessibility. But these overlays are, in practice, quite annoying and counterproductive. So we developed a little extension for your web browser to block all of the overlays.
I'll have to try that out. Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
the Hadley Institute for the Blind and Visually Impaired, offering the 2021 New Venture Business Competition to help blind entrepreneurs turn their ideas into actual startups. More information and submission criteria are at www.hadley.edu/NVC.
And by
NaviLens, a four-color QR code designed to be located and read from up to 60 feet away without the need to focus on it. Personal places and items can be tagged and shared with family and friends with codes obtained inside the NaviLens app, available for iPhone and Android. More information is at NaviLens.com.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Well, you've heard a little bit from Mike and Matt. Let's meet them.
My name is Mike Calvo. I am one of the co-founders and CEO of Numa Solutions. We're an accessibility company that provides accessible cloud services.
And I'm Matt Campbell, the other co-founder and chief technology officer of Numa Solutions.
And people in the blindness community may recognize your names from earlier companies that you ran.
Yeah, that's true. From Serotech. At that point, I was the founder over there. And then Matt was the lead developer. And after Serotech kind of went away, Matt and I got together, developed some new technologies and some old favorites that we kept going. And here we are.
Most of our listeners and most of the people who benefit from what you guys create have visual impairments. Do you?
Yes. I'm totally blind.
I'm legally blind.
So you actually take advantage of these services that you offer and are great guys to be developing it and making it useful for people like yourselves.
Yeah, as we used to be saying back at Serotech, we like to eat our own dog food, you know. So, and of late, it's become more really that mantra, nothing about us without us. Matt and I have some pretty strong opinions about machine learning and its future with the disability community, and we definitely want to have a seat at the table when it comes to developing today's current and tomorrow's future technologies and their impact on our community.
Support for Eyes on Success is made possible in part by our corporate partners.
Find out more about partnership opportunities by sending an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the suite of accessible cloud services available from Numa Solutions.
Before we get into talking about the services that your company offers, you ought to spell the name of your company and tell us what the name signifies.
Sure. The name of the company is Numa Solutions, and it's spelled with a P. Why? Because it's fun that way. No, it's a P-N-E-U-M-A Solutions. And Numa is a Greek word that means wind with knowledge. And that's what we are providing, is accessible cloud solutions. So it's just kind of a cool, techie, weird name, I guess.
You ran Serotech for many years. What prompted the transition to this new company?
A whole lot of things. Mostly just changes in the marketplace. I'm sure everybody has seen the companies that have either gone away or merged into other companies. There's been a great shift in the AT market. And that's for the good, because as we've become a much more technically inclusive world, you're finding a lot more accessibility solutions built in natively into consumer products, which gives us as a community the opportunity to not only be mainstreamed and kind of be part of the current technological conversation that everybody else is having, but also brings our costs way down.
So tell us a little bit about the services that you offer, and then we can go into more detail on each of those services.
So let's start with a service that some of your listeners may already be familiar with that we originally developed back at Serotech. We have an online community for blind and visually impaired people called Sero, which offers a whole bunch of things all in one place. Including audio content such as internet radio stations, radio reading services, podcasts, and audio tracks from described movies and TV shows. We offer online community forums where people can post messages, both text and voice messages. We offer voice chat rooms where people can talk to each other in the Sero community in real time. We offer email, personal websites, whole bunch of other things. And it's really designed to give people an easy way to do a lot of the things that they want to be able to do online without having to go find all of the bits and pieces in different places and, you know, struggle with different interfaces that might have, you know, different levels of accessibility or ease of use. And Sero is available for several platforms. It's available for Windows, Mac, iOS, Android, Apple TV, and even the Amazon Echo.
It's nice to have all those services integrated in one place, and this has been around for quite a while. It's nice that you also moved it over to your new company.
Yes, and in fact, Sero is basically the oldest service that Serotech offered. You know, when we originally launched it, it was called Freedom Box, and then at some point we had to drop that name, so we called it Samnet. But Sero is available, is still available right now for anyone who wants it, and we have a few different pricing tiers, starting as low as $6 a month if you just want the basics of Sero, including all of the audio content on a single platform. Or you can pay $16.95 a month for full-blown Sero on all platforms, or $21.95 a month for our Accessibility Anywhere package, which is basically all of our consumer products in one flat price. So that's Sero, and that's the main thing that we're offering for individual blind users.
So we talked about Sero, which has been around for quite a while, but your new company, Numa Solutions, offers a number of new services that are quite appropriate for today's new technologies and way of accessing information. Can you give us an overview of what these offerings are?
Sure. They're all based on a platform called Scribe. And Scribe originally was a platform that allowed any printable document or material that's found on the web to be converted into one of a number of formats, be that large print, Braille, MP3, tagged PDF. And using machine learning, we've applied the things we've learned with Scribe, and we've been able to get Scribe to do to other areas of technology. So, for example, Scribe, we can do document conversions in real time. We can convert millions of documents in a very short period of time using cloud computing. We do automatic language detection, automatic alt texting, all kinds of things that would normally take a human to do in the conversion remediation process of a document. We do it all through machine learning processes.
You talked about Scribe. I take it this is a program that you didn't develop, but these are a bunch of utilities that people use in general, but that you're applying to make documents more accessible.
Well, yes and no. Scribe is a workflow, and it is a platform. And a workflow is kind of picture taking a bunch of different processes, both made by us in-house and things that we take off the shelf, and determining through our own analytics how we are going to apply those particular things in the workflow. So, for example, we'll look at a document and we'll analyze it, and we'll use machine learning to determine, okay, what's a header, what's a list, you know, how is this document formatted, where are the columns, all of that. Oh, look, there's images here that don't have alt tags, so we'll submit them to Microsoft's alt tagging service, which is a cloud service, which we don't develop, and then we'll include the output from that in the creation of the document, which we do do ourselves. So it's not as simple as saying, oh, well, I could do that with this program or that program. No, we really put some smarts into it and do what a very knowledgeable user of technology would do and say, well, here I have this document. I need to scan it because it's a graphic. I need to know what those pictures are. I need to format it right. And then, oh, and I need to put it into Grade 2 Braille. And I need to use a number of pieces of software to do that. With our platform, you do it in one click with absolutely no knowledge of the process at all.
Now, based on these utilities and this platform, you offer several specific services. Can you give us an idea of how a user might use these services in their daily workflow?
The users of this service, remember, it would be a business. The main thing that we've put out that is being used by the general public and has been for a couple of months now, back in April, we released a product called Scribe for Meeting. And Scribe, again, is the platform. So it's kind of the platform doing the magic behind the scenes. But the biggest challenge that we've had as blind attendees during COVID, before COVID, of remote meetings was actually being able to consume the on-screen content being shared by the presenter.
Yes, that's not usually accessible using screen readers.
Right. Well, now with Scribe for Meetings, it absolutely is. And coming later this year, we'll be supporting more platforms. So, you know, right now we do Zoom. The next program will be Microsoft Teams, and that should be out very shortly. So we've got a number of platforms in our sites that what you do is, as a presenter, you simply upload your document to our service. You provide a link to the attendees of the meeting. They click on that link, and using machine learning technology again, we go ahead and analyze what the screen share looks like and match that to slides that we've made accessible using Scribe. And now we will present them to the attendees in an HTML view that they can basically look at in real time, or if they're needing to pause, they can pause the presentation and review the content that has already been shown and then just catch up to it.
Oh, so this sounds like it's not only providing a link to the document that the presenter is trying to share, but it actually syncs up as the share is going on.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that's got us so excited because, I mean, the story we tell people, and I'll be very quick, is when you get a document and you're visually impaired, you're expected to look at that PowerPoint presentation. Well, first of all, you're expected to understand PowerPoint to begin with. And then after that, you're expected to look at that document, consume it, sometimes 5 minutes before a meeting, and then ascertain totally from the audio what's going on, what, you know, with the presentation, if he's jumping from or she's jumping from slide one to slide three to slide two or whatever. It's just insane. And you're literally having to keep your mind on four or five different things at a time, which keeps you from being included in the conversation. Scribe for Meetings breaks all those barriers down and makes you a part of the conversation. And you can say, hey, you know, coworker, right here on line three, I see where we have this problem, or I see where the math was done wrong on the bottom here. You know, so it really, as an attendee, even though I'm one of the creators with Matt here, who I've not allowed to speak because I'm so excited, but you know, I'm still amazed whenever we use this stuff. I'm still like, wow, I can't believe this is part of the world we live in now.
That's quite a unique and special capability.
Yeah, it is. And honestly, I mean, I'm the guy who thinks this stuff up, but the real genius is over here, is Mr. Campbell. He's the guy, him and his team bring this to life.
So you've described Scribe for Meetings as being used in remote meetings using one of the popular video conferencing tools. But I imagine that once we're able to have meetings in the same room with each other, that you can still use this in a non-remote setting.
You could, I mean, by creating a simultaneous remote meeting at this time, but I mean, it wouldn't take too much imagination to create a local product that could be used in an office environment. It certainly does not exist yet. but we'll definitely put it on the list. It makes sense, and it's something that we've looked at in the past. But right now, I mean, the biggest thing, the biggest challenge that we found are remote meetings, classroom situations with teaching, even as people come back to work and school with COVID. We don't believe that the world is going to be the same as it was before. And besides, even if it is the same way as it was before, for us as blind meeting attendees and presenters, this has never been available to us. So if there's something that came out of COVID, was definitely this, because this is a direct response from Matt and me to the COVID pandemic and how we could get students in remote places to comprehend what's going on in their classes.
And what a great service. So what other products does Numa Solutions have?
So another service that we released about a year ago, near the start of the pandemic, is called Scribe for Education. And when the COVID pandemic started, we realized that students and teachers were scrambling to figure out how to make school work remotely, and blind students often didn't have access to the resources, including their special ed teachers and resource rooms that they had access to before. So students were in a situation where they were getting sent documents, possibly inaccessible documents, by their mainstream teachers, and those mainstream teachers didn't have the tools to convert those documents to accessible formats. So we made the Scribe document conversion platform available free of charge for K-12 teachers so they could convert their documents, you know, their handouts and other materials into the formats that blind students need, like Braille, large print, MP3, EPUB, tagged PDF, etc.
So essentially the teacher will have their document submitted to this service, and out the other side comes the document in the form that's most useful for the student.
Bingo. Yep. And the most exciting part of that is that it is free. It will always be free. Matt and I believe very much in the education of the visually impaired and eliminating hurdles, including costs, to those things. And with Scribe for Education, not only do we eliminate the cost, but we also eliminate the need for this high level of accessible document creation knowledge. Now, that being said, I want to be real clear about something about Scribe and the way that we create. We use a technology called augmented document remediation. And that augmented document remediation is what really eliminates the need for the provider of the information to be knowledgeable about accessibility. And that platform is going to get better, but it is still only about 96% as accurate as a human doing remediation. And there are certain things like types of math and science that the platform does not handle well right now. And again, because it's machine learning, it will get better, but I don't want to set any false expectations. We're not a silver bullet for accessibility. We're not any of that. We are simply a tool that can be used in an arsenal of tools that will make your person, whether it be your customer, your consumer, your student with a print impairment, their lives a lot better in the way of the time of having access to this information and the accuracy of it as we begin to train it. And where we provide Scribe as a service, we always require the organization that is running Scribe direct to their consumers to have a human form of remediation available as well, so that when a 100% or as close as we can get to it, human certified remediated copy of a document is necessary, it can be made available to that consumer free of charge in a reasonable amount of time.
That is great service. For a Scribe meeting, you talked about who the customer or user was. If someone is using this for their own meeting, is it Zoom that kind of purchases the technology, or Teams? It's not the user themselves. Who actually runs the service?
The way that it works is Scribe for Meetings is currently supporting Zoom meetings. And as I said, it will be supporting other platforms coming soon. We also support Zoom webinars, and it's an important differentiation between the two. A webinar is kind of a broadcast to many, many people. For anyone serving the visually impaired community, we provide the webinar product absolutely free. The meeting product is available in a number of different packages that range from a consumer, kind of a single user thing that you would have if you were one presenter that presented to a bunch of different folks with print impairments at different times, just an individual subscription. When you do include us in your enterprise, whether it be a college or a university or a business, we are paid for by the organization, and that gives you unlimited usage, and it's always free to use. I mean, you're never going to pay, you know, unless the provider of the meeting charges you for something, but we're never going to charge a consumer for using our technology to attend a meeting.
So to be clear, the blind person attending the meeting doesn't pay, but whoever is hosting the meeting, whether that's an individual presenter or an organization such as a university, they're the ones that pay for the product.
That's a great business model. Are there any other services?
We also have a document scanning and reading and conversion product for consumers called DocuScan Plus, which is also going to be going through basically a makeover sometime this year.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
By the way, one of the things that's real important, I think, that we don't mention enough is that because we are a cloud services provider, we are international, and our services cover a number of different languages. So we invite your international users to visit our website, to look at our solutions, and to bring them up to local government, local educators, local businesses in Europe, in the Far East, in the Middle East, in South and Central America, wherever they might be located. We'd be happy to provide them services. We may even have a reseller in that area. So, you know, we are international. We're not just a U.S.-based thing. It's important to note that we, for our international customers, do keep your data in your country or in your region. So, for example, if you're in France or Italy or something, we'll keep it in Europe. So if you're in Canada, we keep your data in Canada. That's pretty important when it comes to people's data. They like to know where it's being stored. So as we grow internationally and we get into more places, we keep your data there. We don't bring your data here.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Numa Solutions products and services and how to contact them.
If people want to find out more about Numa Solutions and some of the services that we talked about in the show, where would you direct them?
www.numasolutions.com. That's E-N-E-U-M-A solutions.com.
And is there an email or a phone number that people can use?
Sure. You can just write us at info@numasolutions.com, or there's a contact form right on the website where you can reach out to us, and then we'll kind of filter the information there for you and send it along to the appropriate person or department or what have you.
And as you mentioned, this is available all over the world now.
Yes.
Do you have a social media presence?
We do not. We have chosen to stay out of the echo chamber of Facebook and the cesspool of Twitter.
But of course, you can find all of the rest of that contact information in the show notes associated with this episode at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 2119. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about the Connect Center from the American Printing House for the Blind, which manages resources aimed at helping people of all ages and includes Vision Aware, Family Connect, Career Connect, Connect Calendar, and an information and referral line. We'll speak with Director Olaya Landa-Villard and Digital Content Specialist Catherine Botsford about these services.
We hope everyone has a good week, and we hope to see you again next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Men's Health Magazine, followed by USA Today at 2.
Of all the interesting places in our country, the American West may just have the most interesting stories. Recording Library of West Texas volunteer Jack reads articles from Range, American Cowboy, and other publications on the Western Magazine Hour, Wednesday mornings at 11 and again Sunday afternoons at 5 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
This week on the Recording Library of West Texas Radio's Saturday Night Movie, the audio-described swashbuckler, Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl.
You don't know what this is. This is Aztec gold. One of 882 identical pieces they delivered in a stone chest. Cortez himself. Blood money paid to stem the slaughter he wreaked upon him with his armies. But the greed of Cortez was insatiable. So the heathen gods placed upon the gold a terrible curse.
They've taken Elizabeth, and we must save her!
Hello, Poppy. All the scattered pieces of the Aztec gold must be restored, and the blood repaid.
Search every cabin, every hole, down to the bilges.
Black Pearl. She's been prating on ships and settlements for near 10 years. Never leaves any survivors.
Jack Sparrow. He talked about the Black Pearl.
Gents, you all remember Captain Jack Sparrow.
You are familiar with that ship, the Black Pearl.
Spring me from this cell, I swear on pain of death, I shall take you to the Black Pearl and your bonny lass.
I may have deserved that. Do you think this wise boy, crossing blades with a pirate?
You threaten my swan.
Audio-described Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, starring Johnny Depp, Jeffrey Rush, Orlando Bloom, and Keira Knightley. Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 52 and mostly cloudy. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 60s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Hello, and welcome to our program. My name is Peter Gilmore, and I'll be reading Men's Health magazine here on site into Sound Radio. And first up, getting fit bit by bit. At 44, tech heavyweight James Park took his body and his workout to the next level, 10 minutes at a time. It's not exactly what James Park wants to hear, but it's close. On a balmy January morning, Park is in a grassy stretch of San Francisco's Rincon Park, powering through his typical push-up routine. He's doing as many reps as he can in 2 minutes. That's usually upward of 100. Yes, really. And when he takes a brief breather, hey, that's a lot of push-ups. He finds he has a fan. A passerby asks him a question. You ready for Cirque du Soleil? Park considers for a moment and responds, I'm thinking more American Ninja Warrior. Of course, Park is neither ninja nor acrobat. He's a co-founder and CEO of Fitbit, the wearable technology company that helped make daily steps a universal way to calculate your fitness. And last summer, after years of keeping his workout mostly on brand, think lots of walking, plus an occasional running and strength work, he changed things up, introducing weight training, all those push-ups, and a hearty dose of TikTok into his regime. Results, at 44 years old, Park dropped 15 pounds to his current 135. He's feeling stronger than ever and has lowered his total body fat by almost 4 percentage points. That's according to the Fitbit Aria 2 scale in his apartment, which he checks religiously. The scale is the truth, he says, and I wanted to know the truth. Last year, he finally had time to study and accept that truth. Thanks, ironically, to the coronavirus pandemic. Since founding Fitbit with Eric Friedman in 2007, Park has spent a great deal of time jetting to business meetings and product launches and late-night dinners. That created plenty of gym challenges. During Fitbit's early years, he says, he could never make working out fully sustainable. As the company grew, things got easier, but Park still struggled to focus. Looking back at old photos, he says, there are definitely a period that made me think, I can't believe I let myself go like that. That changed when COVID lockdowns grounded air travel. Trapped in his apartment, Park had spare time. He thought back to his days as a student at Harvard University. No, he'd never been a superhero, but he had lifted weights with friends and fell in love with the bench press. He didn't need that teenager intensity anymore, but the stoic CEO did need workout balance in his life. That balance doesn't look like what you might think. Park doesn't grit out marathon sessions or work with a trainer. Instead, he injects fitness activities throughout his day. He'll take a few minutes to crush his push-ups, then hours later, return for a short ab session. He's currently addicted to a core routine he found on TikTok. Midway through last summer, after watching several videos of TikTok Air Walk Challenge, which has people doing slow pull-ups while pretending to climb stairs in midair, he committed to masterminding the gold standard back move. He now does 30 to 40 pull-ups on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Twice a week, he'll channel his Harvard self, too, doing bicep curls, shoulder presses, and lunges with adjustable dumbbells, the only gear in his home gym. It's brutal for me, he says, and 5 days a week, he'll go for either a run or an on-brand walk. On this day, that rare day when Park gets 2 uninterrupted hours, except for that Cirque du Soleil fan, he's doing it all at once, breaking a San Francisco sweat. And why not? After nearly a decade without fitness, he loves being back in shape. It's not about variety, it's not about vanity and appearance, he says, but I look good, and what I'm doing is working. Between sets. What's his workout anthem? Shooting Stars by Bag Readers. But actually, half the runs I do with no music, just because I like to focus. What's your unrealized dream? I wanted to play high school football. I was playing violin at the time. My parents vetoed it because they worried it might damage my fingers. Proudest gym moment. Setting my PR in cross country in high school. But I'm a faster runner now than I was then. And finally, least favorite exercise. I don't think I could train for a marathon. The hours of running are too much. I'd be concerned about wear and tear on my knees and my body. Fit at any age. Take advantage of your fitness superpowers. If you're in your 40s, cardio stamina. Guys in their 40s can have an advantage as workouts, challenges, and race distances get longer. While speed diminishes with age, you'll see drop-offs in anabolic hormones and nerve fiber signaling. Endurance, well, endures, and that means you can still sustain and improve long workouts throughout your 40s. Also, younger guys in your sport are still developing the kind of movement efficiency you've honed. So you waste less oxygen as you move, allowing you to go longer than they do. How to make it even better? Your endurance depends on how much oxygenated blood you can get to your muscles, says exercise scientist Dr. Andrew Keach. There are two ways to increase it. Have your heart beat faster, or improve how much blood is pumped per beat. Your max heart rate drops with age. So in your 40s, getting your heart to beat faster has its limits. Best way to improve the amount of blood you move, weekly high-intensity interval training. In the theme of fit at any age, here's a profile of Mike Harrington, who's an endurance planker at the age of 82. In 2018, Harrington saw a YouTube video of an 80-something-year-old doing what he said was a world record plank of 8 minutes. At that point, Harrington was 80 and had already set records in powerlifting, which he took up at the age of 77. As the world's third best active powerlifter over 80 in his weight class, he squats 160 pounds and deadlifts 281. I want to do something daily that would be habitually beneficial for my health, he says. And when he saw that video, he decided to try planking. Unless you work your core muscles, they're going to be deteriorate as you age. Sitting in a chair most of your life does nothing to keep them strong. You need core strength all the time. But the older you are, the more you need the foundation of stability that it gives you. As a lifter, he already had a head start on the stronger core muscles over many people in their 80s. I did a 34-second plank on January 1st, 2019. By December 31st of that year, he could plank for over 15 minutes. What helped him get there and stay strong now? One, I have a good trainer, Chris Trainer, and a good plan that I executed 100% of the time. I never, ever cheated myself, says Harrington. One of his last workouts before the 15:03 was a 4 7-minute planks with 90 seconds of rest. Midway, your body's telling you to quit. When you start the last set of 7 minutes, your body is screaming, quit! The pain is huge. But if you quit, you are cheating. And second, I wear a weighted vest for planks to cut down on the training time. He's aiming to break the national records for his weight class in powerlifting now, so he's spending more time on those moves. At my age, I can only train so much, he says. But if someone comes along and planks longer, I'll begin my quest to regain my record as the longest planker over 80, or 85 for that matter. And now a profile on Jack Wood. His stats, 37 years old, lives in Los Angeles, California. His occupation is co-founder and CEO of Team Rubicon. How a Marine found his next mission. The setback. I served in the Marine Corps from 2005 to 2009 as a scout sniper during tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. Near the end of my second tour, I realized I was growing too familiar with combat. I didn't want war to define my life, so I made the tough decision to get out. But when I left, my future felt uncertain. I was home, grappling with the fact that my military life was over. The call to action, I'd been out of the Marine Corps for 2 months when I heard the news of Haiti earthquakes in 2010. Felt like a new mission, so I went to Haiti with 8 veterans and doctors. Then a year later, my best friend and sniper teammate took his own life. I knew then I wanted to build a team that could help prove to veterans that they still have meaningful lives to live. A team that would respond to challenges of natural and humanitarian crisis. I founded Team Rubicon. The comeback. I had no experience building a business. There were plenty of times when we nearly went bankrupt, but we endured. Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria in 2017 proved to be huge moments for us. We tripled in size. Our work helped prepare for the 2020. Last year, across more than 300 communities, our volunteers established mobile testing sites, propped up healthcare systems with medical providers, maintained food bank operations, and collected and distributed PPE, all while continuing to respond to multiple hurricanes along the Gulf. The reward? Today we have more than 135,000 volunteers registered. It makes me proud to see a decade's worth of work culminate in this new mission for so many of us veterans. I need to take a moment here to remind you that you're listening to Men's Health Magazine on Sight Into Sound Radio. You can listen to Sight Into Sound on channel HD4 on 88.7 KUHF, channel 8.5 on TV, streaming on your computer or smartphone, as well as on Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices. You can also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at sightintosound.org. We are Sight Into Sound Radio since 1967. And next up, Near Beer. Formerly a punchline, non-alcoholic beer has undergone a dramatic craft brewing revitalization. The results are so satisfying that if you turn one down, the joke's on you. As a founding father of the modern American craft beer movement, Garrett Oliver has experimented with it all. Oliver's been the brewmaster at Brooklyn Brewery for the past 27 years. He's overseen IPAs, brown ales, red ales, farmhouse ales, pumpkin beers, winter beers, Belgian ales, sessions ales, and even an American wild ale aged on sour cherries and bourbon barrels. Yet up until 2 years ago, there was one style of beer he found so repugnant, so offensive to beer, they would not think to drink it, let alone brew it himself. I had zero interest in non-alcoholic beer, the same way you have no interest in sugar-free or fat-free cakes and cookies. But after Brooklyn CEO Eric Ottaway observed the prevalence of near beer on business trips to Europe, the company began to consider paying for market research for the first time in its history. In 2018, a six-figure investment showed encouraging potential and prompted Oliver to begin developing a Brooklyn Brewery's first NA beer. The result was Special Effects Hoppy Amber, which debuted in 2019. And quickly became the brewery's fourth most popular beer globally, in a portfolio of around 20 year-round and seasonal offerings. With hints of black tea and zesty grapefruit, and a mild maltiness, Special Effects looks like beer, smells like beer, and of course, most important, tastes like beer. Oliver, ever the showman, calls the amber and its ability to deliver the satisfaction and flavor of beer without the caloric load a, quote, miracle, end quote. That miracle, which is due in part to skill and part to the evolution of brewing techniques, means that Brooklyn is one of the growing number of breweries, from big time to upstarts, producing high quality, non-alcoholic beer to match the increasing demand. In 2020, NA beer sales rose 38%. That's according to research firm IRI. But the market, admittedly, is still young. The promise is bold. Beer, and all its deliciousness, with fewer calories and no morning after consequences. It's a party to which everyone's invited. The only question is, will enough people show up? Well, three cheers for wellness. Non-alcoholic beer's reputation was always an afterthought at best, and at worst, a joke. Near beer in American dates back to the Prohibition. The threshold for that classed as alcoholic beverage went to a time-honored 0.5% alcohol by volume. It wasn't until a half century later, when Anheuser-Busch launched O'Doul's, that NA beer turned into whatever you'd call it, a meme in 1990. O'Doul's was a symbol not of great taste, but of a great compromise. The malty beer and subsequent O'Doul's Amber have never fallen out of production, but brewers suggest that it's likely because they are default drinks among recovering alcoholics and pregnant women. I think the stigma went hand in hand with the idea of bad flavor, Oliver says. It was like, well, if you had a problem with alcohol, here's the beer that you deserve. Another better near beer pioneer on a mission to alleviate the stigma is Bill Schufelt, co-founder and CEO of Connecticut-based Athletic Brewing. The fitness-minded former finance guy gave up drinking years ago because it interfered with his career. In 2017, Schufelt quit his job and poured his savings into starting one of the first breweries dedicated solely to non-alcoholic beer that actually tastes good. Back then, his only real competitor was O'Doul. How hard could it be? In 2016 and 17, when I was trying to find a partner to build a business with, the first 250 brewers I talked to pretty much laughed in my face. He eventually teamed up with John Walker of Second Street Brewing in Santa Fe, who was intrigued by the scientific challenge of brewing non-alcoholic beer that didn't taste like, well, O'Doul's. Athletic debuted in May of 2018 and scraped together as an outreach plan that included Schufelt himself handing out cans at the finish line of half marathons and Spartan races. Athletic's sales grew 1,000% in 2019, another 500% in 2020, pulling in about $15 million last year. It's no coincidence that Schufelt's brewery is named Athletic, and that other upstarts like Wellbeing Brewing and Bravus Brewing are beginning to capitalize on a growing consumer thirst for wellness. These breweries are not only touting beers with fewer calories. The average NA beer runs about 60, and that's compared to a typical lager of around 150 calories. But also explicitly positioning non-alcoholic beer as a beverage of choice for weekend warriors and adventure-seeking athletes. Fit Europeans have been drinking non-alcoholic beer for hundreds of years. The tradition of small beer with very low alcohol goes back to medieval times. It's about darn time Americans caught up. I'm a big believer that alcohol fits great, probably about 5% of people's lives in very specific windows on Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, or special occasions. Non-alcoholic beer can potentially fit in the other 90%. Like while driving in your car, during a work week, or even at breakfast. Because why not? Jerry Marshall, the brewmaster at Lagunitas, gets that and puts it together another way. It's similar to how the public views of cannabis have shifted. It's gone from unfavorable to favorable and just takes time. You probably never heard of CBD, essentially the NA of marijuana, decades ago. Now it's everywhere, perceived less as some sort of vice and more as a socially acceptable wellness solution. That said, Marshall knows that in the long run, no amount of crafty marketing can convince people to try NA beer. Only a sip, taken by a skeptic, and then enjoyed, will do that. I mean, ultimately, I think no one can be harsh on you for drinking something that tastes good. Ah, yes, the flavor. Old school NA brewers had to heat their beer to a toasty 173 degrees to evaporate the alcohol, which had the unfortunate side effect of killing all the flavor. Today's craft brewers have solved the problem using new technology. They kill the booze, but save the taste in one of two ways, either through reverse osmosis, which super filters most of the alcohol out, or with vacuum distillation, which lowers the beer's boiling point and evaporates alcohol without raising the heat. While non-alcoholic brewers like Athletic may be inspiring trusted craft brewers like Boston Beer Company and Lagunitas to add a new NA beer to the rotation, the big guys, like Anheuser-Busch, are also revitalizing their efforts in the space. Just last year, AB launched Budweiser Zero in partnership with the NBA legend Dwayne Wade. Even O'Doul's in the midst of a long-delayed rebrand. No joke. Marketers are essentially arguing that NA beer is a new health drink, lower in calories than hard seltzers, and far more delicious than even the tastiest LaCroix. Yet some health claims, like NA's potential as a post-workout recovery drink, are misleading. That's according to Desi Abita, Men's Health Nutrition Advisor. Beer, alcoholic or not, is not a significant source of protein. So you should look elsewhere if you want a drink that will help you with gains at the gym or a post-5K. However, Dr. Chris Moore, also on the Men's Health Advisory Board, sees the glass as half full. Non-alcoholic beer could be good for hydration. Beer with alcohol is not, since it's a diuretic, and it typically has less sugar than the sports drink focused on keeping you hydrated. You're also likely to have a better night's sleep after drinking non-alcoholic beer, which can lead to all kinds of benefits, including improving your mental health and weight loss efforts. And again, there are the calories. While IPAs with alcohol normally starting around 200 calories, Athletic's Run Wild IPA has only 70. So let's say you're a casual drinker who has three regular IPAs on the weekend, and he switched to NA. That's a saving of roughly 1,500 calories over the course of a month. And that's the equivalent, by the way, of 125 Cool Ranch Doritos. Oliver admits that he was wrong to condemn near beer, but not because his tastes have changed. If anything, his commitment to quality helped ignite the revolution. Those who come to scoff shall remain to pray, he says. Yes, he has a vested interest in more people drinking up, but he'll trust your sober judgment. We have time for a quick question of Ask Men's Health. Young Sue of California asks, my partner hates that I bring my smartphone to bed. Big deal or nah? Kind of a big deal. Pay attention to a phone means you're not paying attention to your partner. One study found that people in relationships are more likely to attribute their pattern screen time to relationship neglect than they would their own smartphone habits. In other words, we falsely assume our own texting habits are okay. Try setting healthy boundaries with phone. Leave them in a basket when the workday is done, or in the bathroom just before bed. And if you need an alarm clock to wake up, pick up an old-fashioned school clock. That still makes those, by the way.